Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Between the Ropes podcast. I am Brian Fritz. It is Monday morning, and we are now less than 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. We are firmly on that road to WrestleMania. And when it comes to WrestleMania, we all know it's more than just the one show. It's WrestleMania week. It's all the different events that not only WWE does, but all the different promotions will do in WrestleMania City. And with it being in New Orleans, there are a ton of events that are coming up that weekend. And one of the bigger shows of the weekend, it always is when it comes to WrestleMania week, is Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor. And this year's show is once again a really, really big event. You look at the lineup for it. It's world champion Dalton Castle taking on Marty Scurll. You have the huge match between Kenny Omega and Cody, and the rest of the lineup. New Japan stars are going to be a part of this show as well. So it's a really, really big lineup that's going to be taking place that Saturday, April 7th, the night before WrestleMania. I had been hoping to speak with COO Joe Koff for a while, and I finally got an opportunity to speak with him. It was actually a week ago when Joe and I talked, and I've got the article that's going up on Sporting News as well, and I wanted to release the podcast as well. It was a great conversation with Joe. It's something I've been looking forward to doing for a long time, and I really appreciate him giving me as much time as he did, because we spoke for about an hour about a lot of different things, mostly about Ring of Honor's business, where they have gone. We also talk about the Honor Rising streaming service, their relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and it's kind of where wrestling is right now, where Ring of Honor is right now in 2018. So let's get to it. Here is my conversation with Ring of Honor COO Joe Koff. Let's talk some Ring of Honor. Does it feel like a different company now than it did even just a year ago?
I think what we've achieved in the last year makes it feel like a different company, but I think the company is the company and it has its core. And one of the things I've been very proud of doing from the time we acquired it is really preserving the core of what Ring of Honor represents. But I think this year we've stimulated the progress of Ring of Honor significantly. So does it feel like a different company? I think at our foundations, it's the same. But I think from our expansiveness, it definitely feels different.
Is there anything that really stands out over this past year that you said, wow, this is surprising to me, or this is the biggest place where we've grown from your standpoint?
I think what I've seen, Brian, more than anything is the fruits of our efforts. One of the things that I pride myself on in running the organization and we as an organization, and it's a lot more we than it is I, is the fact that we are so collaborative in the way we think and the way we approach our talent and allowing them to bring us ideas and allowing them to tell their stories. And I think when we talk about the last year, because it really is from last year to this year, because last year we were in the Lakeland Auditorium or Lakeland Civic Center, and we had our biggest crowd ever. And that was a good 90 to 100 miles away from the action of all of the other WrestleMania events. And it signified to me that we're doing something right. And a lot had to do, obviously, with the Young Bucks versus the Hardys at that time, which was a signature event. And I looked in that arena. Were you there, Brian? I don't know if you were there.
I was not able to make it. No, I wish I was, but yeah.
Yeah, I wish you would. I just because to share this moment with me, and maybe some of your listeners were there so they know that. When I walked out and saw the size of that crowd, and again, albeit relative to everything, our big, I was just struck. I was just struck by the fans' adoration and the work that the guys had put in to get us to that point. And now 1 year later, we are again probably going to come close to doubling that size of that crowd in New Orleans. And it has to be organic, or it just has to be that the wrestling, you know, the wrestling gods are watching over us. But I think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is putting on a fantastic product, keeping the fans in you know, surprising the fans, keeping the stories fresh, keeping the surprises there. I just think we're doing our jobs, and I don't want to give myself a jinx because I hate doing that. But it's really work ethic. And I think if you do what you're supposed to be doing every day that you do it, then it happens.
I think the thing to me that stands out when it comes to Ring of Honor is just taking the basics, modernizing them, and trusting in your talent to be able to go out there and use their energy and use their skills to be able to play that out for the audience. And that comes down a lot to, like you said, just trusting of the talent and working with them. So what has this period been like when you have the talent that you do, especially when you have these creators like Cody and the Young Bucks that are so much on the forefront of wrestling fans and utilizing social media and coming up with a lot of different ideas to help themselves and help wrestling?
I think you used the wording right. One of my other jobs in the company is training and development of people and managers and salespeople. And I use a slide when I introduce the program, and it's pretty close to what you said, which is I always ask people who are, you know, taking my class or working with me, and even to my own guys in Ring of Honor, to trust the buoyancy. And I think that's what you're talking about. There's a certain buoyancy in Ring of Honor, and no matter who's been wrestling in it, it always seems to be there. And I think if you are true to your core and true to your values and true to your wrestling beliefs, if you trust that buoyancy, it will take you, it'll keep you afloat and even more. And I think that exists. And I do trust my guys, and they trust us. I mean, there's a very, very good relationship that exists between talent and management. And I think that the foundation of that relationship is really respect. I think everybody respects what each other does in their roles. And because of that, there's a very, very positive feeling and vibe that goes through our dressing room, and that transcends to the ring, which then transcends to the fan. I think we're very unique in that regard.
Explain what it's been like to see, from your perspective, the Young Bucks and Cody and what they've been able to do for Ring of Honor over this past year, and just see their growth when it comes to who they are as performers as well.
It's a great question. And I actually, you know, Cody's only been with us, you know, I've only met Cody when he joined Ring of Honor a little bit more than a year ago. But the Young Bucks, I think, were on our very first program that we did back in 2011. And I always thought they were an amazing talent. And I always liked them. And I liked them not only as performers, because I think they put everything out there. They're really smart. But this is, Brian, this is really me. They're really good people. They're good fathers, they're good husbands, they're good family people, they have really good values, they're just really extraordinary at what they do. And one of the things that I wanted, when the Bucks signed with us on an exclusive domestically, I really take pride in the fact that they were kind of listening to what I was saying, which was, you know, we can offer you a place to work where you don't have to work every weekend on shows that put your bodies at risk and enjoy your family. Cause I really believe that there's a balance. I know that there's lots of articles on whether this work-life balance really exists, but these are young guys with young families. And I'm a big believer that they should be spending a good amount of time at home with those families. And if I was able to take them off the road for just, you know, 6 weekends or 8 weekends or 10 weekends, I really feel that that was my contribution to that part of their lives. But as performers and as influencers, and they are definitely social media influencers, the fact that Cody chose to work in Ring of Honor really speaks more to the levels of what I'm talking about. He could have gone anywhere. But I think here he understands that he's respected, he's appreciated, he's loved, and he really, really delivers to us what we need him to deliver. And I think that their understanding of the business is just amazing. And the halo effect of what they do in the locker room has been fabulous. So I think I'm really pleased with the relationship. I hope I can say they are as well. And I'd like to see it continue. Of course, who wouldn't?
What were those negotiations like with Cody? Because it felt like Ring of Honor was a natural fit for him once he decided to settle down and choose a place to work primarily on a domestic basis. It felt like a natural fit. But at the same time, you never know what a performer is going to do. And he did have a lot of options. So what was that period like in negotiating with him and trying to convince him to stay with Ring of Honor?
Well, I don't know that there was a lot of convincing, and to be quite honest, I really didn't handle those negotiations. My general manager, Greg Gilliland, who's really been one of the architects of our success from the business side, really handled that with Cody's agent. And not once, though, I was aware of what was going on, but not once did I feel that it was anything but gentlemanly, and it made sense for both parties, which made the negotiations that much easier. It was not difficult at all, and it was not difficult at all because it made sense. You know, Cody belongs in Ring of Honor, and Cody represented Ring of Honor and was a great champion. Soon to, who knows, and, you know, hopefully to be another champion again. But the way he carries himself and the way he comports himself is so professional, and I think he feels at home here. And I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with what you said. You know, we are a back-to-basics organization, but very, very much in touch with what's going on now. And I think there's a comfort for people like Cody, performers like Cody, stars like Cody, and the Young Bucks, and Marty, and Jay Lethal, who's been with us, and the Briscoes, who've been with us, our champion. I can go down the list or our roster. I think they all feel that way, which makes us special.
Are you surprised that some of your talents are still with Ring of Honor? Not just from a standpoint that we've seen so many guys have successful runs with ROH and then be able to move on to a WWE career. And this speaks on what WWE is interested in and who they're interested in. And I don't know exactly, you know, how aggressive they've been in going after some guys, but we've seen kind of that progression with a lot of talent. And you did talk about, like, Jay Lethal is still there. The Briscoes are still there. They're still in huge roles, you know, in Ring of Honor. Are you surprised that you still have those guys?
No, not surprised at all. And a lot has to do with, you know, a career maturity, I'll call it. You know, the younger guys, you know, they've grown up idolizing the WWE, and they've always felt that they need to get their start on the indie circuit. And, you know, that's not going to stop. There's always going to be people that feel that that's where they need to be because in their minds or in the minds of some of their fans, that's the epitome of success. I don't know whether it is or it isn't. I mean, I've been in broadcasting a long time and I've never worked in New York City, and I don't know that I need to, and don't know that it ever really crossed my mind. My job was to be the best at what I did wherever I was. When you look at a Jay Lethal and you look at the Briscoes, they have perspective. They have a little bit more perspective than a guy that just came through the business 5 years ago or 6 years ago. And I think they realize what Ring of Honor represents to them. It represents a good living. It represents a, you know, not 200 dates a year. It represents an appreciation. I mean, I use our talent far greater than people know because we have a huge organization. But they've gone on sales calls with me. They've appeared in front of training classes. I mean, this is a little different of an organization than a wrestling promotion. And that's because it's part of our business, and this business happens to be wrestling. So I think from that perspective, if people understand that, it makes more sense for them to stay in Ring of Honor. But at the end of the day, Brian, people have to do what's best for their families and what they think is best for their career. And I will never stand in the way of that. I love all the guys that wrestle for me, and I only wish them the greatest success when they leave Ring of Honor, because they're still always identified with us, and to carry that mantle and to be, you know, to identify with us is really, really important for all of us. So I have no problem with any of that.
I do wonder what the argument is like when you talk to talents now, because guys are so smart about, you know, everything that's going on, and they know their careers, they know where they want to be, and they know what works for them. We've seen this, you know, people talk about, there's been plenty of people that dream about going to WWE, but we look at how strong wrestling is outside of there with Ring of Honor and New Japan and all these other places, you know, both in the U.S. and around the globe. What's the argument like, or what's the talk now when it comes to talent in saying, you know what, maybe this is the right place for you. This is why I want to make the argument that you should stay right here.
I can only present what we represent to them as part of our organization. They have to make their own choice. You know, what you said really rings true. There is so much life outside of, you know, the WWE world. And I don't want to take anything away from them because they've created an amazing infrastructure, and they're really, really they really, really are the best of the best in our industry. I'm not saying they are wrestlers of the best of the best, but as an organization and what they've achieved. But let's not lose the fact that I watched the forerunner of the WWE as a child. That's where I started watching wrestling, in New York, and it was called Capital Wrestling, and it was Vince McMahon's father. So that was the start. I was in Madison Square Garden for Bruno Sammartino and Gorilla Monsoon and all of those days. I'm in my 60s, and I started wrestling when I was watching wrestling at the Garden 8, 9, and 10. This is not an overnight success. This has been a long process, and they've prospered because they're good at what they do. They're focused on what they do. Ring of Honor is a young organization. We just had our 16th anniversary show, Brian. 16 years old. We're a rambunctious teenager. You know, we're mature at times, and maybe sometimes we appear to be immature. But we have a lot of good growth ahead of us, and excites me. And I think people who want to be part of that can see that. We're also not an independent organization in the sense that people sometimes like to label us. I mean, we have television every week. We do 40-some-odd events. We have pay-per-views. We have live streaming. I mean, we're a formidable competitor. And it is this formidable competitor that's Ring of Honor, I think, that's raised the level of professional wrestling in general. Certainly, the synergies between New Japan and Ring of Honor are just so easily understood if you watch both promotions and how they operate. But together, we're stronger. And I like the fact that wrestling's at a high point right now. And if you follow the history of wrestling, which you probably have, being so learned in it, it's cyclical. And right now, we're in a good high cycle. Good high cycle for the men's talent, very good high cycle for women. Why? I don't know. I'd like to say it's a little bit coincidental that it's tied into Ring of Honor's rise and Ring of Honor's popularity, and maybe the fact that we're forcing other promotions to see wrestling differently than we do it. I don't know. I'd like to take a little credit for it. I don't want to just be that guy that says it's because of us. It's hardly. But somewhere in there is some of that.
Well, the thing that I find interesting is that Ring of Honor is best known for its in-ring product. And for the long time, people were wondering, I don't know how well that could work, because we need more storylines, we need more sports entertainment, we need more of this, that, or the other. And then we've watched, this boom period of wrestling, and we've seen everybody now have more of a focus on in-ring product, to the point where even if you watch WWE on a lot of different nights on their television, that we see a lot more in-ring product than we'd seen in a while there. And I see that kind of changing. And that's, to me, that's what fans want. Is that what you're seeing right now? Is that's what fans want more of, is, hey, that's cool, we're going to have storylines, but we want to see the action in the ring.
Oh, absolutely. Look, at its core, at the wrestling core, let's take out the WWE, which is much more spectacle and much more entertainment,
sure,
which is what they say they are, and they deliver that product. Their amount of in-ring wrestling versus the amount of out-of-ring entertainment is substantially higher. We have always prided ourselves as a company on wrestling. That's what we do. We're not an entertaining sport. I mean, we're not a sports entertainment. We're an entertaining sport. We are sports. We are athletes. We have a lot of integrity. We have a lot of artistry. And I think that that's important to the fan. And what always amazes me, and we do all kinds of matches, as you well know, we have, high-risk matches, ladder matches, tables matches, and, no-rule matches. But I always am shocked, and maybe shock's the wrong word, maybe it should be more pleased, when they see the talent in the ring wrestling, and they start cheering, this is wrestling. Not the holy S's and oh my OMG, you know what I mean? When they see the wrestling and I hear them acknowledge that wrestling, because they're watching two incredible athletes or four incredible athletes or eight incredible athletes in the ring at one time doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is wrestling. And we are really, really good at that. And I'm proud of our company for that.
Take me back to your days of growing up as a wrestling fan and going to Madison Square Garden as a wide-eyed kid and seeing the likes of Bruno Sammartino and Dusty Rhodes and everybody else that came through that building. What was that experience like for you, especially at that age?
It was magical. I mean, it was probably the one thing that has followed me through my life and has been a continual story of my life. I always tell the story about the first time my dad took me to medicine. Well, my father was a doctor, and he was an unbelievable doctor. And really one of the few things we actually did together because of his practice and because, you know, he was drawn, you know, to patients in his medical profession was wrestling. We always went down to the garden to see the wrestling. And I still can remember the first time I went there, Brian, and they had these big four lights. It was like an X with four giant bulbs, and the house lights went down and these four lights lit the ring up. And it just was magic to me. It was the magic that I think people feel when they fall in love with theater or movies or whatever their so-called profession is. And I will never forget that, because that was the moment I knew I loved this. And then watching what happened in the ring and watching it every week on TV, just, I was just enthralled by it, and I just loved it. And you know, it didn't matter that everyone said it was fake, because it's no more fake than Star Wars is fake. You know, of course it doesn't exist, but there's nothing fake about professional wrestling. Nothing. Everything we see in the ring is really happening. All those sounds that you hear are not amplified. It's not a guy under the stage, you know, stepping on light bulbs to make the sound of crunch. That's real. The storylines have to be protected, and I understand that, and I think the fans understand that as well, that outcomes are determined because we're telling a story. But one thing Ring of Honor has done, in my creative team, and I give them all the credit, we still have the ability to surprise. And when our fans are surprised, they really, really appreciate that.
And fans want to be taken on that ride. They want to be told
absolutely.
That story. That's the whole thing, is you want to go on this ride and then you want to see how it plays out in the ring. We have no idea how it's going to play on the ring.
No, because that's dynamic. That's dynamic in nature.
Yeah,
we know what we want to happen in the ring, but as in life, things do happen and things change.
Right.
And no one's there to see that. They just want to see a good match and a good story being told, and that's what they're paying money for. And I respect that, because that's what I think we do well. So, I find the internet trolls actually to be a little bit. You know, I think they're annoying the people that really love the business, because there's always that group that wants to be that guy or wants to be that naysayer about the business. Nobody's interested in that. Everybody understands what's going on. This is not a big secret. Professional wrestling's never been a big secret. Maybe in the 50s, maybe before it proliferated out. Maybe there was that group of people that thought it was really real. But, you know, I see some feuds to this day, and I still, and there are things that go on in Ring of Honor during a match that I always go back after the match to make sure that no one was hurt or did that really happen. And I have to tell you, Brian, maybe I'm the biggest mark in the world, but when I can still be fooled like that, or at least maybe fooled's not the right word, but reacting that way, then I think we're doing our job right.
I was going to say, isn't that a good thing though? Because that's the reaction that you're hoping for.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm a fan when I'm at the building, you know, other than greeting and doing what I'm doing, I'm in the stands. I'm always in the stands watching what's happening, talking to the crowd, watching how they react. I mean, that's what we are. We're entertaining the public. We're a sport that entertains. And when I see the faces and when I see the reactions and when I see the cheering and when I just see the general pleased faces of our fans, I know we're doing our thing.
How would you compare that experience of watching wrestling as a kid growing up at Madison Square Garden to watching wrestling now and going to a Ring of Honor show, you know, in your 60s?
I think there's a lot of similarities, believe it or not. I've seen, you know, I can remember a match. It was probably my favorite match growing up. And it was between a wrestler named Eduardo Carpentier, who was from, you know, he was a flyer for his time, acrobatic, and a giant at the time. They called him Hans Mortier, the German giant. And he was managed by Wild Red Berry. And I remember watching this match in Madison Square Garden. It must have gone 30 to 40 minutes. And, you know, for a match to go 30 to 40 minutes in today's world is like a marathon. It's just not happening. And I just remembered that feeling when Mortier put Carpentier in his full Nelson. I can't remember. It was called the guillotine. I do remember. This is really scary. and good that I can still remember it that clearly, put him in the guillotine, and a Carpentier was selling it so amazingly. Didn't even realize it was called selling, didn't even know what it was, but I was watching him struggling, and this was his submission hold, Mortier's submission hold, and it, what seemed like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it might have been 2 minutes, who knows, you know, Carpentier breaks the hold and flips him over, and then the match ended 45 minutes later in a draw. But I remember seeing that, but now, and I can fast forward to matches I've seen in Ring of Honor that have gone 30 to 40 minutes with people like Jay Lethal or Cody or Dalton, or and I had the same feeling that this is amazing athleticism and this is amazing magic, and nobody left their seats. As a matter of fact, nobody was sitting in their seats; they were on the edge of their seats. Why? Because the wrestlers were delivering what the fans expected. And when that happens, then you know you're in a good place.
You mentioned the partnership with New Japan. How do you think that has developed over time? And where do you think Ring of Honor would be right now without that synergy between the two companies?
Well, that's a fair question. You know, and I get asked that a lot. And I always ask, you know, the person who asked me that to maybe ask the question is, where do you think New Japan would be without Ring of Honor?
Right
now. I think there's not one up on either of them. It happened because both promotions have a similar philosophy of wrestling. There's a history, obviously, you know, with New Japan and Ring of Honor, but it's really been developed over the last 5 years under our guidance and under our aegis. And I think that together we are stronger as an international organization, and also as a place for talent. Because if they can offer dates and we can offer dates and we can put together a good year at good pay, then we've done a good service for the wrestlers who are wrestling for both of us. So I think it's a really good relationship. I would only want it to sustain. But, you know, they're a business and we're a business, and they have to do their business the way they need to do their business. And I fully understand that. And but we're working with them. They have a couple of shows coming up that they sold out in minutes because there's a thirst and a hunger maybe to see other product. And they offer real wrestling. I was in Tokyo at the end of February to watch Honor Rising. And there's a real respect there for our wrestlers and a real respect there, obviously, for the New Japan wrestlers. And I'm glad that they're given that opportunity to be seen on both sides of the world. It's important, and hope it continues.
Is there ever any concern that it would not continue?
There's a concern, you know, as a business person, I'm concerned about all of those things. And, you know, some of it's in my control, some of it's out of my control. But, you know, Ring of Honor has been a resilient organization. We've had amazing people in Ring of Honor and have left Ring of Honor. And there's been lots of obits written when those people have left. And, you know, the organization's never been stronger. And I think one of the reasons that the organization has a lot of strength is we have distribution, we have television, we have a strong company that backs us, and we have a strong belief system in what we do. And we've never, while talent has always been, you know, name talent has always been part of Ring of Honor's lore, Ring of Honor is this brand and a style of wrestling. And when certain people have left, and I can name them through history, and going back to CM Punk, who, you know, is now in UFC, and then Bryan Danielson, and we can go back to Kevin Owens now, and Sami Zayn, who are big stars on SmackDown. And, you know, you could see it even then that's what they wanted. And they were really good then. But the organization didn't stop when they left. The organization kept going because it's organically strong. And I like that part. So if New Japan, you know, goes their separate ways and wants to become a competitor in the United States for professional wrestling, then we'll deal with that when we have to deal with that.
When we see Ring of Honor shows working with New Japan, I think there's a boost in the attendance, and that's a lot because there are those kind of co-branded shows. And I'm sure there is some concern, or there's some thought that maybe people are coming more to see New Japan talent than the Ring of Honor guys. How do you balance that out when it comes to utilizing that to make sure that your promotion looks strong on your shows, even though you're using New Japan talent?
I can only look at the success of our shows with or without New Japan. And yes, New Japan talent, I would want to see them. It would be like bringing in, you know, specialty acts from Europe or from around the world to enhance your program. But we had, I think the last 11 of 12 shows at the end of 2017 were all sellouts in fairly large sized buildings. And there wasn't New Japan talent on all of them. I think it's our product. And I think when New Japan comes in, it's an opportunity for the wrestling fan. And I think the Ring of Honor wrestling fan is a fan. I mean, they're the fan of the sport and they're the fan of the industry and the space. I think it allows them to see this talent. And I think that it's good for everybody. It's good for all parties involved.
When we mentioned the 16th anniversary show and Ring of Honor always trying to surprise the fans and keep them excited, one thing that was really surprising was seeing the Impact Wrestling champion Austin Aries appear, you know, on that show. What is the relationship like with Impact Wrestling right now?
I've always had a very good relationship with Impact Wrestling. I try to have a good relationship with all the promotions because why wouldn't I? I mean, we're all in the same space. We're all doing the same thing. It's good for the business. You know, that was a creative angle that came out of creative. And, you know, Austin Aries, who's a former Ring of Honor wrestler, has never held the belt. And I think that he's on a quest to hold every belt he can. And it just seemed like a natural opportunity. There was no agenda involved. It was a good spot. Surprised the fans. You know, that show had a lot of surprises, as you well know. If you haven't watched it, you're listening, and if you're not familiar with our Honor Club, you can join our Honor Club at ROHWrestling.com. And as an Honor Club member, you have access to all of our live streams of shows that are coming up, plus past shows. And that 16th anniversary show had a lot of surprises in it. I mean, when Austin Aries came out, obviously, to challenge for the belt or to make his statement about not getting that belt, that was exciting. When the Bear took off his hat with Kenny Omega, that was unbelievably exciting.
I thought it was going to be you for a second there, Joe.
Well, you know what? I did my stint in the ring, last couple months ago with the Briscoes, and yep. I'm not anxious to get back in the ring. That was that was serious stuff for me because it's not what I do. And I don't know how I would be in that Bear costume. You know, it looks pretty big and I'm not that big, but who knows, Brian? I mean, it could happen. It could happen. But back to your question about Impact. Yeah, we're happy. If they had to agree to it, they did. Certainly doesn't hurt their brand. So it was good. It was a win-win for all.
What would you like to see going forward when it comes to possibly utilizing other talents from other promotions?
We talk about that. We actually do talk about that. Right now, we're into preserving our brand and like I said, stimulating our own progress. I don't want it to be muddled. It has to be a good situation. We saw the beginnings of that. It didn't turn out. It never ended that well because of an organizational switch. But last year when we had the Hardys and the Bucks together, that was supposed to be like a home-and-home series. But because Impact was unable to re-sign them and they were signed with the WWE, the back half of that home-and-home series never got played out. But if there's a good creative angle that makes sense for both organizations, that enhances both organizations' brand and appeal, we would always be open to that.
Do you think we'll ever see a time in the near future where there is a relationship with WWE where you say, we have, you know, this talent for one of our big shows and we lend you one of our talents for one of your shows, whether it's a takeover or something on the WWE main roster?
Anything's possible. I don't think that's in their mindset. You know, we've always been more open to ideas and thinking like that. They, and I won't speak for them because I would never speak for them. And I really do have a lot of respect for that organization. It just doesn't seem to be the kind of thing that they would be interested in.
Yeah.
But if they were interested in it, they know how to reach me.
You mentioned the Honor Club streaming service. How do you feel it's gone so far in its early stages?
I think it's been great. I mean, like in anything with early tech, there's going to be a glitch here or a glitch there. But we have been adding members daily since we started the service. And obviously events push that number a little bit. I expect when we do Supercard, we'll see a spike in numbers for the service. But I think it's great. I mean, to be able to live stream our shows, what wrestling fan wouldn't want to watch that?
I agree with you there. I think one of the things that people wonder about, though, is when it comes to some of the classic footage. Are we going to be seeing that in the near future when it comes to the early days of Ring of Honor?
I think we're working on it. I don't think. We're working on that. A lot of that footage really needs to be digitized and really needs to be cleaned and cleansed and stuff like that. And I think you'll start seeing more footage coming, probably as we go from current to back, as opposed to starting at the beginning and coming forward. You know, I watch a lot of programming, and I watch a lot of YouTubes and stuff like that. And you know, the older stuff, as much as classic and we love to see it, it doesn't really hold up technically to the aesthetics of a person's mind. And until we can deliver that content that way, I would be more comfortable knowing it's aesthetically pleasing while also delivering the punch of the, no pun intended, the content.
Is there any kind of hang up when it comes to utilizing some of the talents that have been in Ring of Honor over the years? Like, do you have the rights to that programming?
I have the rights to any time they were part of Ring of Honor. We have the rights to that, to the use of their images in those matches. Absolutely.
How much?
That's not been a problem.
Sure. How long do you think what is the process like when it comes to digitizing, and how long of a rollout are we looking at when it comes to some of the other footage over the years?
I can't give you a time frame because we're in process. I would like to think that by the end of one full year, we'll have a good majority of it up, but I don't want to be held to the fire. So please don't do that. I mean, you know, we're constantly working with current. Most people are more interested in current stuff anyway. There's no question that the older content is still watched and needed, but it's really the current. I think people would rather see the live streams of current shows and shows with the Young Bucks in New Japan than worry about seeing something from 16 years ago. I really do.
We've got Supercard of Honor that's coming up here in the not so distant future. Your champion right now is Dalton Castle. What has it been like to watch Dalton and his progression and now being the representative of Ring of Honor as a world champion?
Well, let me ask you, what do you think? How do you think he's progressed?
I see a lot more depth when it comes to the character. I see him refining his style in the ring to where it looks more like a world champion. I mean, I've been a big fan of Dalton's for years because I love it. I love the act. I've been a big proponent of that, but if we see it kind of refining along the way and changing it up a little bit to where now you believe that Dalton Castle is a world champion. He's just not this guy that comes out with, you know, the two other guys and, you know, trying to entertain everybody. He is a world champion. He holds himself like a world champion.
Yeah. I you know what? I wanted to hear what you had to say, because that's the answer. You know, he's an incredible worker and an incredibly skilled wrestler. And once you get past that entrance, which is still fantastic and everyone just loves it, and the building still pops when they see that graphic come up with the feathers. But when you watch his in-ring work, you're really seeing a champion. So in answer to your question, which you answered for me, his development has been sensational, and he's getting stronger and stronger, not only as a champion, but as a professional wrestler. So we're really pleased with him as our champion. He's a good champion.
You're supposed to give me the answers, Joe.
No, I'm sorry. Well, I just, you know what? We're corroborating on that. We agree with that.
We do. You know, I really like where Dalton has come, you know, and I'm glad he's gotten this opportunity and see where he can go with it. You know, I think we've all seen he's been a really good wrestler, but it's like, okay, let's see where you take this to the next part, you know?
Well, I think as you watch over, I mean, look at who he's been challenged by. I mean, we're putting him in good, really good matches. He's got a good match coming up at Supercard with Marty. And Marty is a really, really skilled wrestler as well. Probably one of the best technicians in the ring.
Yeah.
So that match should really have an elevated status for both men. I don't know the outcomes. I never know the outcomes. I never ask the outcomes because I want to be surprised as the fans are. But I expect a really, really good match. Very entertaining, very interesting. They're both very charismatic. They're both very expressive. I think it'll be good. I think it'll really be good. And I think it'll elevate again, both men, not just one, not to put one to make one look better. I think this match will be elevating both men, which I'm excited about.
When it comes to Ring of Honor live attendance, you talked about last year's show in Lakeland and the upcoming show when it comes to Supercard of Honor in New Orleans and doing about double the size. There's so much talk about, you know, what Cody and the Bucks are doing right now with their all-in event. How far away do you think we are from Ring of Honor possibly doing a 10,000-seat arena?
Well, we might see it at the, before this year is over. That's the hope of All In. I mean, I have great faith in what they're trying to do, and we're supportive of it, and we're working with them in making sure that all the things that are needed are going to be there for them. I don't think it's far-fetched at all. I think that there's a thirst and there's a hunger, and if you feed the hunger and you slack the thirst, people will come. People are recognizing in greater numbers than ever, thank goodness, what a Ring of Honor event is like and what Ring of Honor style of wrestling is like. And, you know, I think we're starting to get more interest in it, and I think Honor Club will help that. But there's nothing like a live Ring of Honor event, because you can feel, it's palpable, the emotion, the tension, and the energy and the vibe of that arena. So I think 10,000 seats is doable. Hopefully it'll be this year. Wouldn't that be something?
It would be. What's that process like from your standpoint, too, from saying we want to grow incrementally? At some point, we want to take a jump, but knowing when the right time is to really take that jump and try to take a bigger step.
I think we keep testing that this year, going to the UNO Lakefront Center. It's a big building. I think we saw after last year we're capable of attracting, especially when you're in the same city and not 100 miles away. We think that that's a more attractive option. Of course, the match itself, you know, the main event match, also doesn't hurt. But, you know, that was the announced match, and that sold a great preponderance of the tickets. But when you look at the card underneath it, that match, while it's still the main event match, every one of those matches is a main event match. So I think, you know, from a value perspective, we're going to give the fans all of their value that night. And I won't be surprised, and I haven't been surprised since we've owned Ring of Honor, that our show usually on WrestleMania weekend is held in esteem as either the best or equal to the best, or certainly second best of that weekend.
Last thing, when it comes to Ring of Honor, if we talk, you know, 1 year from now, what do you want to be saying about where Ring of Honor is and what kind of goals do you have laid out for this coming year?
I have a feeling, Brian, and we can mark a date and have another conversation a year from now. I think it will be a lot of similarities, because over the last 7 years that we've owned Ring of Honor, we've had a plan. We've exercised our plan. We've watched it happen. It never happens fast enough for me, but I understand that in business that those things just don't happen. I think we'll be talking about bigger houses. I think we'll be talking about the same things. I think there'll be the same WWE questions. I think there'll be the same New Japan questions. But as long as we're having that conversation a year from now, I'll say that we've achieved everything we needed to achieve in the last year.
Well, Joe, I really appreciate the time. I've been meaning to do this for a while, and I'm glad we finally got the opportunity to talk. And I'm looking forward to the show. I'm looking forward to Supercard of Honor.
Thank you, Brian, and thank your listeners for all their support. And if you haven't watched a Ring of Honor event or attended a Ring of Honor event, I really ask you to. And if you come to a Ring of Honor event that I'm at, please come up and tell me and introduce yourself and let me know that you're there, because it means a lot to me and it means a lot to the guys.
Thanks again to Joe Koff and to Ring of Honor for setting that up and the amount of time that Joe gave me. I really enjoyed sitting down and just talking with him. He's a very down-to-earth guy, and you can tell he's a really, really big wrestling fan. The one thing I'm kicking myself over for not bringing up during the interview, and it's something I've been pretty vocal about here on the podcast, is why is Ring of Honor running Supercard of Honor up against NXT TakeOver? And I don't know why I didn't bring that up. I don't know why it didn't come to my head. I really wish I had brought that up, because it is something that I wish they would not do. It's something that I'm sure a lot of other people wish they would not do, because we all want to watch both of those shows, but we want to watch them live and we don't have to watch them back later. But silly me, I forgot. That's my bad. And I apologize for that. I should have brought it up. I had a great opportunity to do it, and for whatever reason, it didn't even come to mind for me bringing that up. But Super Card of Honor, stacked show, Saturday night, April 7th, in New Orleans. It's looks like a tremendous, tremendous show that's going to be on there, including at the top of the card, it's the Ring of Honor Championship match, Dalton Castle against Marty Scurll. You've also got Kenny Omega against Cody, and you've got plenty of other matches that are going to be a part of that show, and including the stars from New Japan Pro Wrestling are going to be on there. So it should be a fun night when it comes to Supercard of Honor, and Ring of Honor keeps growing, man. Their 16th anniversary in the books now, and we'll see exactly where this company is, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now. You know, we talked about whether or not Ring of Honor can get to a 10,000 seat building, and you know, the All In show has those big aspirations for doing that this year. And, you know, I think they're going to get there. We'll see if Ring of Honor actually gives that a go as well, and if they can reach that number. I'd be curious to see if they try it, and if they do, what match they have or what matches, and when they would try it, what city they would try it. It's becoming a more crowded landscape when it comes to the bigger shows, because take WWE out of the equation. You've got All In Chicago on September 1st, and New Japan Pro Wrestling just announced that they are going to the Cow Palace out in California on July 7th, and that can seat over 10,000 people. And we don't know what matches are going to be a part of that. We can sit here and we can guess what matches are going to be a part of that, but I'm sure they're going to put on a very, very stacked show, and we'll see how well they do, because New Japan just did the Strong Style Evolve show in Long Beach. They did that in a building that held over 5,000 people. They sold it out in less than 10 minutes, and they hadn't announced a main event. And, of course, that show took place last night, Sunday night, airing live on Access TV. Overall, it was a fun show. The main event was just crazy, ridiculously good between the Young Bucks and the Golden Lovers. The semi-main event for the IWGP United States Championship between Adam Page and Jay White was an awesome match. And I know that they were in a very tough spot on the card, and it took a while for the crowd to really get into it, but those guys busted their asses, and that was a great, great match that they had. The one thing that I would say, and Michael and I are going to talk more about this show later in the week when we do the weekly podcast, was the one thing about New Japan is they do so many different tag team matches that it can be tough sometimes to really get into everything. There's just a lot of things that are going on. And I think you could see too, when it came to Access TV, that they are not used to doing live wrestling shows, and they might want to get, I don't know if it's more practice or find a way to get some more seasoned people in there, because there was a lot of shots that were missed. There was definitely some production snafus. There was one even very early on where they did not go to commercial break, and I'll leave it at that, because Michael and I will talk about later in the week, because somebody got caught with a live mic. You know, overall, it was a fun show. I wouldn't say it was a great show. I mean, I thought the last couple of matches were fantastic. I mean, they were ridiculously good. And but overall, I mean, it's New Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, it was a really good show. Or I'll say good show with a great finale of two matches. And but I think if you were there in the building, or even if you watched it on TV, it was a good, fun night of wrestling. I have no problem with that. They even went over 4 hours, you know, and I really didn't have a problem with that. It all made sense. I don't think there was anything that really dragged, you know, throughout the night. And if you like watching wrestling, you like watching in-ring wrestling, a good in-ring action, and you enjoy the stars of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and there was also some stars, obviously, that have crossed over to Ring of Honor, you got a good night of wrestling. So it was, overall, I think it was a really good, fun night that I enjoyed. And I'm looking forward to seeing New Japan come to the United States more often. And they're going to be doing that on July 7th. So, and we'll see if they go out to the East Coast sometime soon. You know, that's going to be the other big step. They're staying out in the West Coast, which is a very smart move. And we'll see if they decide to make the trek over to the East Coast at some point, whether it's later this year or if it's sometime in 2019. So Michael and I, we will be back for the regular podcast on Wednesday night. So be on the lookout for that. I do have some other podcasts that are going to be coming up here. I've also done interviews with Bruce Pritchard from the popular Something to Wrestle With podcast, and of course, formerly of the WWE creative team. So I talked with him last week. And also, I had a conversation with Jeff Jarrett, who of course is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. So I'll have those podcasts are going to be coming out as well. And I'm going to be doing some other interviews coming up here, and I'm sure I'll be putting those out, you know, in podcast form as well. So and be on the lookout too, because I always do like either a transcription Q&A or I write up an article for all these different interviews for Sporting News. So the best way to find those is you can go to like sportingnews.com/WWE. That's where all the wrestling stuff is on the Sporting News website. But I would suggest that you just follow me on Twitter at Brian Fritz, because I always tweet out everything that I do when it comes to sporting news. Plus, I always put out everything for the podcast. So you can follow me there. And also, you can follow Between the Ropes on Twitter. We are at Between the Ropes. If you could, quick plug as well, rate and review the podcast, especially if you're on iTunes. That helps us out immensely. And please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast, whether it's on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on Google Play, we're on the TuneIn app, Blog Talk Radio, tons of different places you can get podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. It only takes a minute, I promise. And if you could, also, please be our buddy on Patreon. Be a Between the Ropes buddy. Support us there. Go to betweentheropes.com/Patreon. Or excuse me, let's try that again. Go to patreon.com/Between the Ropes. We'll get it right one of these times. If you go there, you can support us. We've got the different levels there where you can be a buddy, get some goodies as well, including extra audio or even an ad-free version of this podcast. So we appreciate everybody for listening, for subscribing, for supporting Between the Ropes. More audio coming up this week and a lot more coverage coming up, of course, with this being the road to WrestleMania and all the different shows, whether it is WrestleMania, NXT TakeOver, Ring of Honor with Supercard of Honor, and all the other events that are going to be going on in New Orleans coming up WrestleMania week. So thanks again, everybody, and I'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.